Blog Talk Radio.
Peace, peace, peace. This Collective Minds Radio. We back in the building for another week. We back in the building, This is Brother Kevin, and I'm with my host, Mufasa, and Love Lachey. Y'all with us?
What up? What up? It's Mufasa. I'm from the Rock. It's Mufasa Rock.
Okay,
can you hear me, Brother Kev?
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear. We good.
We're still waiting.
All right, no doubt. How was your week, brother?
Oh, man, it was good. Everything went as planned as could be, I guess.
Right, exactly.
Ain't no need to complain. We just roll with the punches.
I had to keep stuff in the classroom,
but I pulled through it.
No doubt, no doubt. That's how it always be. Yeah,
what's
man,
you
it was a good week. For what it's worth, I'm not really big on the 4th. You know, we did a show on Juneteenth, had a conversation about that. So, you know, as far as the 4th, I'm, you know, it is what it is. I'll probably, you know, go hang out at my mother-in-law and chill over there. But I ain't really too... you know, too geeked up about these holidays, for real, for real.
Oh, you ain't going to spend your money on fun?
Nah, probably not. I'm going to be honest, to keep it real. You know, I got some little kids, so they ain't really too tripping off of it. They can, you know, watch some from a distance, but, yeah, we probably don't put nothing in the air, man. You know. So,
yeah.
That's how I'm going to roll.
I'm the same way. I don't do that. I ain't got time. I might as well just put my money in a pile in the driveway and just put a flame to it.
Exactly. You might as well. So you. Yeah, that just ain't never been my thing. Plus the history of it and all that. So, you know, if y'all celebrate it, you know, to the family, if y'all do celebrate it, be safe. You know, enjoy yourself and all that good stuff.
Don't set the fire.
Exactly.
Blow your head off.
Right. So, today, what are we talking about today? We're talking about do Black Lives Matter? Really? Like, do they really matter in this system? You know, we had the Philando Castile verdict come down a couple weeks ago, and they've been running the video, the dash cam, and all these other videos trying to traumatize us. So, you know, we're trying to have a discussion, you know, do Black lives really matter? Or can they really matter under what I call a system of white supremacy? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's what we're going to be discussing today. We're still waiting on our other host, the lovely Miss Love Lachey, to come in and, you know, chime in with us. But, Mufasa, what you think, bro?
Well, let's see. I got a couple of ways I want to approach this. One is,
okay,
if you're going to really, it's up to you if you feel like you are living in a system of white supremacy. Okay? Now, I know me and you, we do feel like America was based off white supremacy, and we still living in it, you know, in society of white supremacy. So,
right.
You know, Black lives can matter to anybody who want to accept them, who want to say they matter, but will we truly get treated the same way as other people? It don't seem like it. In this type of system, because there's no way. I ain't gonna sugarcoat it or play around with it. I mean, what we saw happen with Philando Castile was unacceptable. That was pathetic. You know, clearly this cop was a coward, in my opinion. I mean, man, if you just freaking out, you don't have no type of control over going straight to your gun like that and shooting somebody. I mean, you don't belong on the force. But we know that this man had already gave you what looked like to be his insurance paperwork. He told you he got his gun on. You know, he got his girl next to him, kid car, trying to hand you his ID. This man is not no threat, but the cop is so cowardly that
right.
Any little false move or whatnot, any little inkling that the dude trying to pull out something, trying to do something, he goes straight to shoot. Now, you
right.
know, if that was one of us doing something like that, if we did that to somebody else, they'd throw us under the jail. You know,
right.
So these cops continuously getting off, and they're trying to say, like, or make it seem like we supposed to be equal and all, you know, getting along and this and the third. Well, why come you not coming down these cops like you're supposed to? You know it wasn't right. I mean, at the bare minimum, the man should have got manslaughter. I mean, come on.
Right.
So, black lives only matter to people who want to matter. You know, but as long as we're stuck under this type of system, and I mean, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing that
right,
we really
right.
can be about it. We can, you know, holler and complain about it, but we don't make the laws. We can't change the laws. I'm saying, so no, that ain't nothing we're gonna be able to do about it. But yeah, black lives, that's the matter to us. But to the system, I mean, they showing us that black lives don't matter. If it did, you wouldn't be doing stuff like that. People wouldn't be getting away. Police wouldn't be getting away with stuff like that. Also, you know, when we had the Mike Brown situation, the big talk was people, communities that's like predominantly black, you should have the police force should match the community.
The community, right, the population.
Yeah, I ain't seen them make that type of change. If they really wanted to, they could do it. You know, they just make excuses of why not to do it.
Exactly.
They could change it if they do, they just don't want to.
Exactly.
Also, to go a little bit more into how I feel about it, to me also, they pick on the lower classes of people. You know what I'm saying? If you look at these shooting victims, most of these victims are people that, you know, on the poor side. You know, you
right.
don't see this stuff going on in areas where, or it don't happen to people that's, you know, got big money. You know, powerful
right.
people. You don't see that happening. To me, it's like they picking on poor people because they know that they can get away with it. They feel like ain't nobody gonna care about them anyway. They ain't got no
exactly.
right. Don't do.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. So yeah, when you I guess when you make a certain tax bracket, you know, they don't come at you as tough. But yeah, that's the way the system's set up. I mean, poor people get blamed for all the problems that we have, you know, in this society. And since a large portion of our people have been, you know, economically, you know, it's been an economic hit on our community for a long time as far as like resources and opportunities for jobs. So it's like, you know, we don't have the resources to fight a lot of the stuff that come down. You know what I'm saying? As far as them waging warfare on us economically. You dig what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, it's crazy. But, yeah, you brought up some good points. Like, I agree with Dr. Wesley Muhammad said something, too, that was interesting. He was like, you know, Black Lives Matter should have been a slogan for us. Like, not for, you know, white people or the establishment, but Black Lives Matter should be for us. Because at the end of the day, like you said, I don't think our lives are ever going to matter to the system of white supremacy or to the dominant society. Like, it's just not. They not going to see us as fully human. They not going to respect our lives. Because as we see, the system is working exactly how it was planned. Like, people you know, raise hell. Like, how did he get off? And, you know, how these police keep getting off and keep getting away with murder? Well, that's the way the system was designed. You know what I'm saying? And all they got to do is pull up to justify when they kill one of us. All they do is pull up your old criminal record. You know what I'm saying? They start talking about he was selling loose cigarettes. That's why he got killed. He was, you know, he was selling illegal CDs, and that's why he got killed. But see, with Philando Castile, this man didn't have a record. So what did the media do? The media started talking about, they started talking about this man, traffic tickets. Well, he had a lot of traffic tickets. Like, come on, y'all, give me a break. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you talking about traffic tickets? You know what I'm saying? Like, this man had no felonies. He worked at a decent job doing his thing. This man just trying to live and live by the book. He's doing the right thing, got a gun permit, got his license, all that. And yet he still gets executed. You see what I'm saying? So with the Black Lives Matter, like I said, I don't think it's ever going to matter to the system. Like, they've have proven time and time again that Black lives just don't matter. So as far as that slogan, I think it should be geared towards us more than anything. Now, as far as the Black Lives Matter group, I have no affiliation or association with that group. I'm really not too hip on, you know, the goings on in that particular group. From what I heard, it's a lot of intersectionality type stuff, and they, you know, I heard it was started by two lesbians, so they going for like gay rights, and which is cool. But I don't think you should name your organization Black Lives Matter if you want to fight for gay rights and gender rights and, you know, feminism and all this other stuff. Like, do your thing, but I don't think it should be called Black Lives Matter. That just, you know, that confuses a lot of folks. You dig what I'm saying? So, you know,
you mean
we
like
just got
the,
a lot.
Brother Kevin, you mean the slogan itself is confusing? You saying, are you saying we shouldn't have the slogan itself?
No, well, what I'm saying is the slogan itself should have been directed towards Black people as opposed to directed towards the system. And when I say it's confusing, yeah, when I say it's confusing, I'm just saying the organization itself, if you look on their webpage, apparently it was started by, you know, two lesbian sisters, and they all about fighting for gay rights and women's rights and, you know, all these other rights, which is cool, but I don't think you should name your group Black Lives Matter, but you're fighting for gender rights and feminist rights and all these other things, because I think that part is confusing. Does that make sense? I think that part is confusing.
Can you still hear me? Hello?
Yeah, we still hear you.
All right, we got a call on 615-600. Want to see what they got something to add to the conversation?
Oh, yeah, bring him on in. Let's bring him in.
Yeah, I got something to add to the conversation.
How you doing, brother?
Peace, caller. Thank
you.
You
want to say your name? You want to say your
name? My name is Olani Shakur.
Oh, that's my brother right there. What's up, soldier?
Not much, man. Just scrolling through Facebook and saw a number that called in and wanted to check out what y'all was talking about.
Indeed,
cool,
indeed.
Cool.
We talking about Black Lives Matter, the slogan. You know, do Black Lives Matter? Is it a slogan that
what would it take
for Black Lives Matter?
In a white supremacist system. White supremacist.
Well, I will say it like this. Anyone who knows me knows that I am a very practicing Black nationalist. So what I would say in regard to that is, as long as Black people are trying to, I guess, get at the heart of the white supremacist system, then no, Black lives won't matter in that system. But as long as we say we're going to build our own system, a black national system, a pan-Africanist system, then black power will matter. What we have been observing over the past 2 years since that slogan came about is that, you know, it's more of a, you know, let me kind of beg an oppressive system to start respecting me. And no group of people or a nation of people gains respect in that manner.
Fact.
As a matter of fact, I just saw a T-shirt with a slogan similar to that, one of the popular ones that said, "Stop killing us." And it's still a matter of you're asking your oppressor to stop oppressing you. And I don't know anywhere in history where that has ever happened.
Exactly. I agree.
That's crazy. I don't know who came up with that, but to me, that makes no sense. I mean, that's the craziest thing I ever seen, man. Why are you going to ask somebody to stop killing you? You don't ask nobody to stop killing you. You make them.
You make right.
And well, you have to consider, okay, who is starting these campaigns? Who's not only starting these campaigns, but who's funding them?
Right.
On the show, okay, the sisters who started Black Lives Matter, and they kind of just caught on to a popular phrase. You know, it was a phrase that was going on. They caught on to it and said, okay, we're going to name our organization as such. And, you know, of course, you know, it's already explained, you know, these are members of the LGBT community, if you will, who
correct.
They had their own agendas with that. And, of course, they, you know, once they came into prominence, they were very heavily funded by the same white supremacist organizations that we're trying to be have some footing against.
Right.
So that,
right.
You know, when you have your organization controlled or your movement controlled by the same people that are oppressing you, then they're not going to give you the tools to defeat them. They're going to give you the tools
right.
to further build their system. And
exactly.
I mean, just really think about it. You know, I compare it to back in the day, civil rights movement. You had people who they weren't asking for empowerment. I mean, well, I don't know if you can ask for empowerment, but that's not what they were seeking. They weren't seeking empowerment. They weren't seeking liberation from a system. They were seeking a better place within the white collective system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so,
indeed.
I
agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know if people like that today are trying to be empowered in such a way they're really just saying, hey, you know, we want y'all to treat us nice. We want, you know, whatever we think is the luxury of the white collective. But you're not trying
right.
to be like
that. Yeah, agreed. Now, this is the problem. See, I agree with everything you said because what we're doing is we're trying to, like you say, appeal to the system and appeal to white folks, and we get, you know, we get emotional and get mad when they treat us the same way they've been treating us. You know what I'm saying? So we got to get away from that emotional attachment to white people and to the system, and thinking that the system is going to render some type of justice or is going to ever help us out, because the days of marching and being out in the streets, those days are over. Because who are you marching to? You dig what I'm saying? Who are we marching to? You know, we scream from Black Lives Matter at these rallies, and we got signs and all this stuff, but who are you trying to appeal to? If you're trying to appeal to a white supremacist system or to white people in general, you know, that's going to fall on deaf ears, because there's no evidence in history that they're going to stop practicing racism, which is what their power structure is based off of. So they're not going to relinquish power just because a few of us are crying or, you know, this and that. Like, this is what they do. And we just got to come to the realization that, you know, this is just what they do. The system is designed to break down the black male to break down the black household, break down the black family, you know, destroy the black woman, destroy the black child. Like, this is what the system does. So until we come to grips with that, we going to be running in circles. And if you notice, at a lot of these marches, it'd be a lot of white people out there, too. So if all these white folks are out marching, like, when are we going to see a change in the system? That's why I know that a lot of this stuff is just for show and for, you know, camera pics and all this type of stuff, because, you know, what are we really doing out here, you know, when we marching and protesting? Like, who are we pleading to? Because the evidence shows that they're not going to stop. You dig what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's 100% true. And, I mean, even I'll just say it like this. You know, a lot of people, when stuff started, I guess the revolt started happening a few years ago, and a lot of people were saying, oh, history is repeating itself. And I would say, no, history is continuing. It's been doing the same thing. But,
right.
Yeah, you know, it's how you educate it. You know, we all grow up educated under the white supremacist system in the public school system, and they're not going to teach you about black nationalism. They're not going to teach you about anything that actually empowers black people. They're going to teach you that, hey, you know, Rosa Parks and sat on the bus, you know, and white people are like, oh, this and that and this and all that. That's what they're going to teach you. I'm pretty sure I can't really think of anybody that can say they learned about Marcus Garvey at school, at elementary school.
Right.
So we have to take control of our education. That's number one.
Indeed, yeah. That's a fact, because the battle is at the mind, and they, you know, the system is designed to dumb it down. You dig what I'm saying? Like, me included, I had to relearn everything that I learned from K through 12. You dig what I'm saying? Like, you have to relearn and figure out all these stuff to try to get your mind right, because a lot of, like you said, a lot of stuff they teach you is going to give you low self-esteem. You're going to believe that blacks ain't did nothing, that we came from huts in Africa and they rescued us and civilized us, quote-unquote, and all this other nonsense that they teach. And it's up to us, because the battle is at the mind, like, we have to relearn and recalibrate our minds to get our, you know, get our African divinity back. Because right now they done reduced us to niggotry. And we had a conversation on the word nigger, but America has basically has bred it niggas into the society, like the quote-unquote American black male, you know, they reduced him to a nigga, you know, in a lot of senses. So, yeah, we got to get our minds back. And if you look at the slogan, hands up, don't shoot, like, these are weak affirmations. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not really strong stances. You like, hands up, don't shoot, basically saying, I got my hands up, so you willing to shoot me. Which is coming from
I would tell you that
week,
that's the one that I absolutely hated the most.
Yeah, hands up, don't shoot. Yeah, that was a weak affirmation.
And I was actually, you know, when everything first started like that, you know, or I guess the recent revolt first started like that, I was out there marching, but it was just a lot of stuff that I couldn't get with, and that was the main thing that I couldn't get with at all. Like, I'm basically saying, like, look here, my blackness is a crime, and I'm begging you to not shoot me. I'm putting my safety and my well-being in your hands, and
I'm
surrendering.
Not
shoot me.
Yeah.
So I didn't do that. I didn't do any of the die-ins they were doing, laying on the ground, pretending like dead. You know, I wasn't trying to hold hands with no white people, none of that. And after a while, became very disillusioned with it, because, well, okay, yeah, revolt, revolt. I wanted people to do that for years, as a person that's been involved as I was. But it was like, okay, what's next? And then there was nothing next. There was, we doing the same stuff for now 3 or 4 years.
I want to throw out there for y'all that I saw on I know y'all know who Ray Higgins is, and I saw this on a Ray Higgins site. Y'all may have heard about it from either that site or somewhere else, but I was reading it. It says the leaders of G20 nations have decided that there will be no effect on the world market if only 10% of the black people of the world remained alive by the year 2020. They have decided the world needs the natural resources of Africa, but not the people of Africa. Our people have been labeled as redundant laborers. Since we are considered redundant laborers in the eyes of world leaders, we are simply unnecessary in the world market of the future. Now, y'all heard anything about this? What y'all think about that?
That sounds about right. I mean, I can believe that. You know, that sounds about right. They've been planning for a long time. They didn't did the numbers as far as, you know, them being a minority in this country by 2040. So they're doing the numbers to exterminate us, or at the very least, population control of African people. You dig what I'm saying? So that's been in effect. So, yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all, not one bit.
Now they their whole goal, if you look back even to days of chattel slavery, it was, okay, these are numbers. These are not people. You know, we even look at them as less than animals. You know, so these are just these African and African descent people are here to do some work, and that's it. You know.
Right.
They're here to grab the resources that we don't want to get or don't know how to get. You know, they're here to do all of that. You know, if black people in America just said, okay, we ain't gonna work, or black people wherever they are, we're not gonna work. We're not gonna work for them. We're not going into the job today. It would be a complete economic shutdown.
Right.
And they know that.
Right.
So they have to keep you in line. It's a mental check, you know. It's keeping you in line. That's why they push that whole minority thing. We're minorities. That's what they push.
Mm-hmm.
Before we even think, oh, let's step up and do something, are people going to think, oh, well, they outnumber us and they outgun us, so what's the point of standing up? That's what they work to instill in our brains, and it's worked very well over the past however many hundreds of years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Most people that know
today are still thinking that they can be reactionary about it and not strategize. And I've actually seen people say, we don't need to plan and strategize. We need to act right now. It's like this white man is planning and strategizing at least 100 years out, and you don't want to.
Oh, yeah, at least. Exactly. At least 100 years out. Right.
Most of the time when I greet people in the street, I mostly, you know, usually I say, you know, free the land. And for us to get in power, we have to set our eyes on land. We got to decide what land is that we going to take over and protect. And then building on top of that, because we're not going to make it in this system of white supremacy like this. It ain't gonna happen. So I'm on the side of separating. You know, whether we gonna go ahead and move to the continent, or if we gonna get some land here, you know, that's still up for debate. You know, Elijah had a plan of getting some southern states here. But we got to have a land mass we can migrate to. And then when we migrate that, we can start building upon, like you said, education, policing, army to protect it, all that. But until we get, this is my opinion, until we focus on a land mass that we can migrate to, we're going to continue to be running around pretty much like chickens with their heads cut off, just throwing stones at, you know, the tank. You know, we can't unite. We ain't got nowhere to go to unite to. So, for me, we got to set our minds, set our eyes on a land body. I mean, it can start small. It can start with a city. But until we get some land, y'all, I don't see how we gonna get out of this system.
Well, the major fault that we have is getting people to accept a collectivist mindset. And that's even
right.
People who supposedly know better. It's like, yeah, collectivism, you know, everybody wants to, you know, watch out just for themselves, if they're even doing that. But, yeah, we need a collective mindset so we can say, all right, y'all, this is what we're going to do. Like I said, it can start off small and build. It can be, look, this block here that turns into this neighborhood here, that turns into this side of town here, that turns into so on and so on. But if you got a lot of people just saying, like, oh, no, I ain't trying to do none of that. I ain't trying to, you know, oh, no, I ain't trying to share the money with nobody. No, no, no. You got a lot of that going on, and that's what's defeating any type of real movement.
Right, right.
And that also,
yeah.
You know, on the outside looking in, the people that we would be trying to attract to black nationalism, they kind of look at it as a joke because they're like, okay, y'all talking all this, but what are you building? But then we try to tell them, like, you are part of the building. Just like someone would say, every vote counts, every piece of energy counts. And you got a lot of people saying, oh, well, call me when it's already built. That's not how it works.
All right. Well, Lachey, where you at? You got a female host on here. We ain't heard you. We need that balance.
Well, I'm just listening to y'all, man. But so basically, I'm just hearing you guys saying that because the topic is what will it take for Black Lives to ever matter, and I don't think we feel you know, confident enough that, I mean, it's nothing that will happen for Black Lives to really matter for real in the white supremacist system, unless what Mufasa said that we should separate.
Oh, you're breaking up.
No, I was saying that basically what it sounds like I'm hearing that nobody here on the panel feels like Black Lives have added to this system.
Right. Yeah.
Well, our lives matter in a way that is more productive to them and not to us.
Why do you guys think that is, though?
Pure evidence.
Well, I think, I would say the way the system is designed, like, they don't want to relinquish power. They know if things were set up and everything was equal and justice, eventually, just based on, you know, just based on us being melanated beings, that we would take over. We would start to get more wealth. We would start to build more. We would start to do more. Like, they don't want to give up that power, so they have to rig the system in order to, you know, miseducate us, do this, do that. And that's how they maintain their power. Only thing we have to do is recognize the game that we're playing. See, we trying to play football with a tennis racket. Like Dr. French Wilson say, like, we don't understand the game of life that, you know, we've all been thrown in. We think everything, you know, black people want to believe that we in America and it's all great and, you know, everybody has a proper chance to do this and do that. So we don't understand the system that we're in because they use a lot of deception and a lot of lies to mask what's really going on. You dig what I'm saying? So the battle, like I said before, the battle is in the mind. Once we can understand the game that's being played and how we're being manipulated to, you know, to be anti-black, you know, they don't want black people working together. That's a big no-no. You dig what I'm saying? If you get some money, the first thing you want to do is move out the community instead of building up. Like, that's not knocking nobody, but that's just what we do. You dig what I'm saying? So we don't want to come back after we get the knowledge and the resources. Very few of us come back to that neighborhood to try to lift other people out. You know what I'm saying? So we have to get our minds right and deprogram ourselves from, you know, how we've been educated and how we look at one another. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
There's no way to
change the system or, you know.
I don't think so. Destroyed and rebuilt. Destroyed and rebuilt. There's no way to fix the system, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I think it's a done deal. Yeah.
Well, the biggest thing is that, you know, once again, we have to focus on building our system and every bit of energy that we use to say we're going to fix their system is taken away from building our system.
Agreed.
That's another reason why they ain't trying to let us unify and come up, and they want to keep us down. They scared they're going to get all that brutality. And it's beyond slavery, going back when they took over Kemet. They scared they're going to get all that back. They don't want that. So, yeah, they don't want
to
come up.
I don't think some black people may want it, but I don't think a lot of us even want revenge or, you know, that'll just take care of itself. I really just want liberation. You know what I'm saying? There may be some that want revenge, but I just want liberation and, you know, to be left alone, if that makes sense.
That's what I'm saying. But the people, the powers that be, they still scared of that, though. You know what I'm saying?
They are. Yeah, that's one of the things they say. That is correct. They are scared that if black people wake up, that we go seek revenge and do them like they did us, which, you know, that's just their own insecurities. And we know they got a lot of insecurities that they project their insecurities on us. You dig what I'm saying? They don't like the way they look, so they tell us that black is ugly and, you know, this and that. And they don't like themselves, so they project a lot of their insecurity onto us. You dig what I'm saying?
Let me pose this question to Zelani first.
Okay.
If you were a white man.
Uh-oh.
If you was a European, you was a white man, do you think you would be a white nationalist? Or do you feel you would be on the side of trying to, you know, make it equal across the board? Which one of those types of white people would you be?
I'm thinking from the perspective of a white person and the way that this is a war. And I'm just really thinking, like, okay, if I am on one side of the war, am I going to be doing anything to try to help the other side of the war? The only way I would be doing anything that looks like it's trying to help the other side of the war is if, in the long run, it's really helping me and defeating them. So that's the best way I can answer that one. You know, I would think that it would not make any sense to help in the way that would actually help build our system, which is why, that's why there's the difference. That's why there's, when you talk about the civil rights movement, which transforms into the Black Lives Matter movement, same kind of thing, you know, white people are down with that. White people say, oh, yeah, that's cool. The white liberals are down with that. But when you start talking about black nationalism and pan-Africanism, I have yet to see a white person that's okay with that.
No, they ain't all right with that. No way. No, let's say, what about
exactly.
White person would you be?
I have absolutely no idea. You know, I'm sure a lot of things will you know, be determined by my upbringing, surroundings, you know, my household, my parents, family, you know. So it's hard to say, because you know a lot of those things play a part in our behavior and the type of people that we are, you know, who we surround ourselves with, you know, who we are raised around, and you know, those types of things that have an influence on us when we're kids. So it's hard to say. It depends on that part of my life, you know, as a white person. You know,
I don't know if it's easier for you, but let's just say if you still knowing what you know now about the world and life in general, knowing what you know now, but you just knowing it, you living, you experiencing it as a European person. Would you buy into a white supremacist system and be like, no, I need to keep black people down?
No, I don't think I will feel that way. I do have compassion for humanity. I don't like to see anybody suffer. So I would not, you know, in my current state, even as a white person, I wouldn't want to see black people suffer. You know, I'd just be one of the white people that would, I don't know, to be quite honest, I don't know how assertive I would be or engaging as far as the fight goes. I don't know if I would be a protester, you know, but if you was to ask if I would agree or disagree, I would say I would disagree with the way blacks are treated, and I just would make sure that I myself wouldn't, you know, contribute to that type of bad behavior. You know, that's how
well,
I think.
I got a question about that. So, And I will say that, no, not every white person is a white supremacist or agent of white supremacy, but I do know that every white person does benefit from white supremacy. So I think the question would have to be, because, you know, I feel the same way as far as I'm a humanist. You know, I don't want to see anybody being mistreated. But if I'm in that position as a white person, you know, or anybody's in that position as a white person now, and they have this privilege that's being, you know, that's been built, you know, would they at that moment say, as much as I can, I'm going to get rid of every single privilege that I have as a white person? You know, I'm going to turn down some jobs. I'm going to turn down that family legacy, you know, would they do that? That's the question.
What about you, brother Kid? Before you go, love.
Right.
Huh?
Yeah. No, I want to hear what
you
want to get
and his love.
Okay?
Just real quick. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, really, because you're talking about two different lenses of life, like basically two different worlds, like a black life and a white life. And on this particular planet, it's so different that, you know, it's kind of hard to say. I would say that I would, you know, would like to think that I would have human compassion. But as a white person, I know that I would probably practice racism. Just to be honest, because there's no way, it's so deep within the fabric of education, TV, media, like everything we do, white supremacy is soaked in it. So we make the misconception of thinking that white people are all like waking up like, you know, are we going to keep black people down? No, it's not even like that. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't, the majority of them may not even think like that. However, the moves that they make help white supremacy on some type of level. You dig what I'm saying? And they, you don't have to be involved directly in the mistreating, but we all contributed to it. Even me, like even us on the line, like we're all contributing to the system in a different way. However, since this is, you know, they made it sides, this is war. Like they're playing chess. You dig what I'm saying? A lot of us are playing checkers. You dig what I'm saying? Like, they play chess. Like, they can be cool with you. They can stand on the front line. They can go march with you. have sit-ins, die-ins, whatever. But at the end of the day, they know, you know, what team they play for. Put it like that. And if it comes down to it, like the brother said, they're not going to give up their privilege and power, no matter what they say, no matter how cool they are. They're not going to give it up like that. So, we got to learn, we got to understand the game and how they're playing.
I like that from a position of duality on that, and I do like to let people know that I haven't always been a black nationalist. You know, that's something that, you know, I guess if people say that, oh, you know, you've heard it before, people say, oh, well, you know, I got sparked into the movement or whatever when Mike Brown was killed. You know, I was already doing a lot of that stuff before and up until then. But the event that came after that, after witnessing what the brother just stated about, okay, you can be on the front lines with white people and they're still going to somehow
and still practice racism.
Do something racist. And they're not, and they may not even know it. But
conscious or unconscious. Yeah. Conscious or unconscious. They don't even have to know.
That led me to full-on accepting black nationalism. But if you had asked me the same question 5 years ago, my answer would have been completely different. My answer would have been like, yeah, I know some cool white people that ain't racist. All of those white people that I saw, I knew, and they weren't racist, they actually were.
Right.
Some of them really didn't believe that they were. And it's not always about, okay, you know, am I going to do something directly to damage someone else? So
it's like, you know, like our grandmamas back in the day, just keep on living. Because I probably would have said the same thing like you years ago. But as I keep on living and witnessing what's happening to us in this country and across the world, it makes me dig deeper into being a black nationalist, or being for my people, because I see that the lines are becoming the same. And
right,
to question myself, I was probably perfect. I would probably be practicing white supremacy also, technically or unconsciously. I mean, only a fool, like Zelani said, only a fool, you know that this is a war, only a fool would relinquish their power. So, you know, at best, I may be sympathetic to say, you know, y'all need to be over there and we need to be over here. And black people, y'all, this little area over here, y'all can have it. But I know I'd be the same. I'm be for my people regardless, because I know that we are at war and we are different. So that's how black lives won't matter.
Yeah.
Would matter in a system of white supremacy, because so many white people, either consciously or subconsciously, is going to continue to practice white supremacy. So we'll never be able to fully come from underneath their feet. You know what I'm saying? Not in this system. We have to come out of this system.
I can say this, and this is going to sound... This is where my answer is going to sound more like what the sister was saying. If us black people were in the same position, and as to say, we ruled the world, you know, as white supremacy rules the world now, I absolutely would not be not be in a position where I would want to harm or enslave other people. And that's something that I know that, you know, as black people, as original people, like, no, I wouldn't, we had that kind of position of power as black people, no, I wouldn't want to oppress anyone else at all.
Right.
I wouldn't even want to say, oh, we're going to rule over some white people now. Like, no, we're just going to build our own system. We're going to be, you know, forget trying to have a seat at the table. We're building up our own table that's in our own.
We're building up our own table, but see, that is a threat to white supremacy. If you have a black table of strong families next to the white table, you know, a strong family, that's still that's competition. Like, they're not going to have that. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're not going to give it up voluntarily, just put it like that. So we got to come to the mindset, no, they're not going to give it up voluntarily. And they're showing us through force, through the police, like, that's the direct contact. Like, it's different levels to the white supremacy game. Like, the police are the frontline, quote-unquote, soldiers, race soldiers of white supremacy. You dig what I'm saying? So they monitoring the people. They hard. They clamping down on them, locking them up, you know, shooting a few here and there just to show some force. So that's the physical part. But then you got the education. You dig what I'm saying? Then you got the economics. Then you got the labor law. Like, you got all these different systems. And we got to understand the game again because, you know, the original Black Lives Matter, you know, the Garvey movement, beginning of the 19th century. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a direct response to white supremacy. You dig what I'm saying? The whole black nationalist movement is a response to the system because if we was in a just place, you wouldn't be judged on your color. You know what I mean? If we lived in a just society that practiced justice, practiced, you know, righteousness, equality, you wouldn't be judged. You'd be, every person be judged on their own without, you know, without being judged on particular shade or hue or how much melanin you got. You dig what I'm saying?
See,
so,
unfortunately,
you know, that's the only way.
That's why we're in this position. That's exactly what, that's why we're in this position, because we made that the mistake of not being hard on them. You know, now that I've seen and I've studied history and seen how they infiltrate and take over everything we had, we let them come in peacefully and try to get along. That's
right.
Going back to what you're saying, Zelani. No, that would never, if I can remember, if my DNA can remember what happened, I would never let that happen again. We in power, and we become in power, no. I'm not going to intermingle with you. I'm not giving you any type of leeway to ever put us in a position like that again. Because every time we
right.
try to
well,
unite,
it's, I mean, yeah, you're going to have to work with them because it's a global society. The only thing we got to do is we should not trust them because we know how they get down. Like, there's certain,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You got to maintain a certain emotional distance and psychological distance from them and just keep them in that place. And then if they do practice racism, don't be surprised. Like, I pretty much expected that. Like, I can deal with you, work with you, because you're going to have to work with them on a certain economic level because it's a global society. You're going to have to work with Asians, you know, Hispanics. You have to work with all type of people, which is no problem. You can be cordial, but just maintain the distance. I wouldn't be, you know, I would just keep it strictly business.
If we had Africa back,
you know,
if we had our land back, our homeland back, and we was in straight power ruling over it, why would we have to deal with other nations? Everything we need is there. What we need to deal with them.
Right, but we can sell them resources instead of them just taking it. You dig what I'm saying? We can deal and do commerce. You know, that's just a hypothetical. Yeah. We would just deal, you know. Right.
You ain't coming in looking. You ain't coming in looking. You better meet us just at the end. You ain't coming in.
And that's what it is.
So I think it's trust. I think we should be suspicious of all of them. Of practicing racism. You did. That would be the first step. That way we know what we're dealing with and we don't get surprised. Until further notice, they all should be suspects. And that's just
you disagree with that? You disagree about any of that?
Do I disagree?
Yeah.
No, I don't disagree. I'm just, you know, it's just really, you know, I guess because I'm a person that really, you know, I consider myself a very fair person, you know, and I'm compassionate when it comes to, like I said, people and suffering and things like that. So it's, for me, it's really, you know, a tough reality to accept, although I do agree. But it's just so, you know, concerning for me to hear that we have to have these types of conversations as if black people are not human. You know, I just,
right. That's crazy.
I have an issue with the fact that we even have to have this type of a talk. You know, it's like, who do anybody think that they, you know, nobody, I don't care who you are, you don't, you're not better than nobody. You know, and
right.
the fact that we have to deal with these types of spirits and attitudes with the people is just, it's just overwhelming for me. I don't understand it. How can somebody think that they're better than somebody? You know, and then the way that they treat us, it's just
right.
I don't understand. And I wish if we had any anybody out there that was listening, white or black, it doesn't matter, but mainly, you know, white. You know, I want to hear from them. You know, like what is your issue? You know, what is the deal? You know, because everybody's human, and I don't understand this power thing where somebody has the audacity to think that they're better than anybody, because nobody on this earth created this earth. You know, we was all brought here the same way. So nobody is better than anybody, you know. So it's just
right. See, we know that. But try explaining
right.
that to
explain
that to a racist
just,
white supremacist.
Exactly.
I think of it in this manner. I know that white people don't necessarily think that they're better than us, but we have to look at it as similar to an abusive relationship. Whoever the abuser is, they know that they're not better than the person that they're abusing, but they have insecurities about themselves, and they have to convince the person that they're abusing that they're not better than the abuser, that they're less than. So that's what's been going on.
Right.
They have over the years, over the centuries, convinced black people that, okay, we ain't nothing. They know, you know, where they are. They know that they're not, that nobody's better than anybody in that sense. But I got to beat down the victim, make them think less of themselves. Okay, now they're not going to want to be empowered. Now they're not going to want to get out of that abusive relationship. But they, at best, they're going to think, okay, maybe I can help my abuser. Maybe I can get them to change their ways. Maybe they can stop beating me up or, you know, talking down to me, calling me names or whatever, if I can convince them to stop doing that.
Right.
Instead of me saying, look here, I recognize this is an abuser and I need to leave this situation ASAP and build something on my own.
Right.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think the system was created by people who do think that they are better than black people because they viewed us as less than human. They viewed us as something that was not. That's why they treated us like that. If you had compassion, if you loved somebody or you saw value in somebody or some type of inclusion, I don't think you would be able to do the things that they did to us. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I do think that they do think that they're better than black people. You know,
I would say that I'm not saying that's not a factor. What I'm saying is that that is a result of what they have created. As far as just like we always talk about how we've been conditioned, they've conditioned themselves too, because just like any abuser or liar, if they tell themselves a lie enough, then they have to believe it in order to keep doing it. So they have to, you know, they hear it so much, okay, you know, maybe I am better, you know, then there comes the term white supremacy. Now, and of course, I want to break that down because sometimes people hear white supremacy and they think, oh, they're not supreme. You know, they're like the breakdown that Dr. Francis Cress-Welvin had was that they are functionally superior, but not genetically superior. Functionally superior meaning that they do have the superior system that is winning right now. But
right.
we are
right.
capable
True.
Of defeating that system just by building our own system.
Yeah,
but,
true. And we can build a system within
a system. I absolutely feel you. You know, it does get overwhelming. Like, okay, you know, why, you know, yeah, you know all that, but it's like we all still people. Why are they like that? You know, why can't they
right.
see basic humanness in someone else that is a human?
Right, yeah, it's just that. I mean, I just think that is just a puzzling thing that this world is like that, you know, that it's like, how dare somebody come here and be born the same way and tell me that this is their world and just take over. How dare that happen? That is so disturbing to me, and I'm just like, you know, like why is that? You know, how could that happen? How can that happen? That's just like if somebody come in my house and just start taking over. I don't get it. You know, I don't understand how, you know, they just gonna take over the whole world.
That's their
yeah,
way
I guess
of life.
That
yeah.
cold weather do something to your mind, won't you?
Right.
That's
a
fact. Do something to your mind and spirit, huh?
The cold weather, no sun, and do it. Yeah. It'll do it to you on your psychology. It'll play on you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah,
once you understand
way, that's their way of
yeah,
life.
Once you understand
yeah.
of how they think and how they move and the psychology behind them not getting melanin, the psychology of how they tan to get darker, but they don't, you know, like the darker race. So it really is an envy thing. It's some insecurities that they done pushed on us, you know, pointing the finger and saying, you the problem, you ugly, you this and that, because you don't like your look. Like, you know, we learned that going to school. If somebody talking about you at school, they probably got the insecurities. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it's this a deep psychological game, but like I said, Black Lives Matter, to get back on the topic, should have been for us. Like, we got to respect and understand, you know, how we've been miseducated to be anti-black, to not trust each other. Like, we don't trust each other. That's another thing. We should be not trusting them, and we should be trusting each other. You know what I'm saying? Just...
Hey, you know what?
When you
bring that up, it does remind me of how
on the protest scene, a lot of black folks was focused on, you know, getting white allies. Yeah, the allies.
Right.
And I was always thinking, like, okay, why aren't you trying to be allies with your own people? And I would hear people
right.
like you say that, and they would tell me, like, no, I'm trying to give you some white allies. Like, you need to live up.
Because they got the resources. That's what they're saying. They're saying, I'm trying to go where the money is, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know how,
which is sad,
you know,
but,
the things
yeah.
that our organization has been through, and it's like, yeah, we've dealt with that on a lot of ends. Not really people saying it so much, but a lot of people just thinking like, okay, I know that what they're doing is completely righteous and that's what we need
mm-hmm.
to do. However, this over here is popping a whole lot better, so I'm going to get with that. Y'all call me when y'all get it together. That's the mentality
mm-hmm.
that we have received a lot. And then it just goes to further build the system. And it's like, yeah, you got to... Yeah, if it came down to a very few fighting a large number, you got to do it. You got to learn the tactics.
As a matter of fact, you was in the room
when I kind of made this presentation about a year and a half ago on Revolution by the Numbers. I don't know if you remember that. But
go ahead.
Basically that. And I was breaking it down like, look here. I was breaking it down even on a local scale of if this many black people came together, and it wouldn't require even all of black people, wouldn't even require 5% of black people as a whole.
Right.
We could do some stuff.
You would just need 5%.
Right, exactly, because the masses go follow. The masses of black people go follow. We need just, you know, a critical mass, and we have to have a collective consciousness. We got to have a code that we going by. You know, it could be written or unwritten, but we just got to move on code. You know what I'm saying? That's the only way to defeat the system, because right now, I mean, as far as something physical, we're not ready for no physical combat. Only thing we got to do is just change our mindsets. And, you know, the shit go break down on its own based on what, you know, how we moving about and how our minds are on code together. You know what I'm saying? That collective.
Now, here's another thing.
Hey, Brother K, but I'm telling you, I wanted to do something real fast for you. Don't forget where you was about them codes, Brother K, but I wanted Zelani to throw out the name of his organization real quick, because I didn't need to get a chance to tell y'all, you know.
Okay.
We do. So just tell them real quick about your organization so they know where you're coming from.
I am the chairman of the People's Pan-African Movement and also the president of the St. Louis chapter of CEP Newton Gun Club. And, for the past couple of years, we have worked to build a black nationalist base. And, you know, as far as education and economics and wellness and self-defense, of course, me being a DJ for half my life, I definitely work in the entertainment area of human activity. But we teach on the 9 areas of human activity altogether. And we do that as a way to say, look, there's not just one way. You know, you don't have to think, okay,
right,
this is my one way and no other way is going to work. Like, you're going to need every way.
Right.
You're going to need to collaborate with people on every level. You know, if you're a gardener, you're going to have to collaborate with the people who are the teachers, you know, who's going to have to collaborate with the people who have a self-defense base, who's going to have to collaborate with the people with the economic base, and so on and so on.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna say we appreciate
I was just gonna say I was just gonna kinda get back to I think what somebody had mentioned before, I think it was you, Mufasa, about separation thing. Now, what do you guys think about this? Because I can, like, for instance, if we was due to separation, then we're going to have still issues, because what I still found is people just have, you know, different personalities and stuff, period. And so what do you guys feel about, like, you know, the issue that we still going to have to bear? So also, before you answer that, that's why I was, you know, there was a time that I was able to express how if we was just able to, you know, learn how to be better people, period, you know, to just get along. Because if I take my brokenness, even though we separate, and I take my brokenness amongst every, and, you know, we just still with all black people, I'm still going to create issues. So what about us just...
Well, no, that's okay, because, yeah, that's okay, Tanya, because you don't have to agree with every black person on everything. Like, it doesn't have to be that harmonious where everybody's just kumbaya, holding hands. You don't have to agree with every black person. But the code is there's an agenda and a way you go about how you treat each other. How, you
exactly.
know, petty disagreements and all these things, you know. Like, how do other cultures handle, you know, when they get into beefs? Like, you know, every culture, every family has its arguments, disagreements, but how far, you know, are you willing to take those as far as extinguishing a life from your own clan, you know, or your own army? You know what I'm saying? Like,
mm-hmm.
we have to start thinking on that terms. Like, if we're dealing with each other, you know, first and foremost, we're dealing with the aspect of God and of each other. You know what I'm saying? We got to be looking at each other as as part of the same guys, part of that same one, that force. You know, so that's one take. So if you own code and you own a format, you don't have to agree with every black person, you know, because, I mean, some personalities just don't get along. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just not the, you know, not how it's going to be. There's still going to be disagreements. It's still probably, you know, it'll be some anti-blackness that we got to work out. And, you know, but like I say, once we start trusting each other, once we just start working together, but we got to understand the common goal and the common enemy, then we can move forward, you know.
Absolutely. That's 100% true. And definitely, I can tell you, as a person who's been organizing for the past few years, you know, I've experienced it time and time again over where, yeah, we're trying to get all the black people together, and it should be all
right.
Good, and then,
right.
Yeah, there's the infighting going
yeah.
on. And for no reason.
Because there's a, misconception.
Yeah, and I'll tell you that as this liberation fighter that I am, here's the part that's probably going to blow your mind. I have yet to have a single direct confrontation with white people. All of the
right.
confrontations that I've had with people bringing them, you know, the people that I'm fighting for, bringing them to me, you know, and I mean,
right.
people just having beef. Some people have literally said they don't even know why they don't like me. They just said, okay, we don't like you, or we don't like, you know, I've had some people say, I like the work that you do, but I just don't like you. And I'll ask them, like, okay, well, the only way that you have dealt with me is via the work that I'm doing. So how can you like the work that I'm doing but not like me? And I'm not even just pointing it towards me, because I know a lot of people who are leaders or workers in this, they've experienced a lot of the same thing. And, yes, we have grown in our platform to say, okay, yeah, it's all good to have us all together, but we have to understand, for one, we have the common goal, you know, even if
right.
we got different methods to it. Like you said, we don't always have to
yeah.
see some people that have good working relationships with that. I don't agree with everything that they do, but we know that, okay, when it's time, we got the same exact goal, you know. And that's what you do have to do. You do have to say, we may not agree on the methods, but if we got the same goal, let's roll. And you do have to make sure the people that you're working with, and I'm not even saying you're working for, but the people you're actually coming to strategize with, that you're on the same playing field. And that's
right.
to get out the gate. So let's say I want to link up with other black nationalists, and we're going to do this. We're going to build.
We can work out all them other problems later. We can work out religion later. We can work out, you know, all the other stuff, you stepped on my joys, any other type of little beef, or you stealing, like, we can work those out later. But we got to understand the main goal is liberation and freedom, and to be able to be fully human beings, fully black man, black woman, African man, African woman. You know what I'm saying? We have to be able to, you know, to achieve that without being impeded on, you know. But
hold on, let me just clarify something too, because I'm not suggesting that, you know, we have to build a store where everybody is in total uniform and not in no disagreements. I'm not suggesting that, but I'm saying, how do we combat the brokenness of just humanity, period, where somebody going, you know, like I said, even if we separate and then we, you know, all the blacks here, the whites there, Chinese there, everybody, yeah, is still going to deal with issues, you know, internal issues in their own little, wherever they own the world or land, but even those things is concerning though. Because I'm saying, I would much rather get to a place where people just know how to treat people. Period. people know how to act and behave and just basic, you know, problem solving, things like that. You know, I don't want to have to worry about somebody not, you know, I don't, even just if we can even just talk about just basic customer service. I don't care if I'm in a whole country of black folks. When I come up in a restaurant, I want good customer service. We need to learn how to just treat people better, period, is what I'm saying. So do you guys think that that is something that we should also be trying to fix as well?
Because
once we transfer, the goal I would like to think is that we're trying to learn how to live with one another and be treated with respect by everybody. I don't care who you are and where you are.
Right.
So if we
separate
and we all in Africa, I still want you to treat me with respect.
That's 100%. That will never happen because of the way the Creator made us. Unfortunately, unless we come back, that's the Creator take away that thing that I always say, that free will. Because we had a free will, we will never be able to have that whole common where we all just getting along across the board. That will never happen. We've been fighting, bickering since the beginning of time. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. Unless the Creator
that's the case, even when we separate, we're going to have the same issue that we have now. It'll just be a black person in power still putting their neck on the poor people.
I can deal with that.
I'll say this, and I definitely agree with the sister here that and this is why when we talk about these areas of human activity that we have to break them down and, you know, teach that, okay, they're not always the same as how a white system would do it. So I'm saying that, say, when we get to something like education, it's not just, oh, who's going to school and learning this and that subject. It's teaching a way of life. And we do have to teach a way of life of respecting one another, at least that. Like, we ain't got to be all extra buddy, but at least respect one another. Like you said, I should definitely be able to go and when I see it, whether it's a black-owned business or a white business where black people are working, I should definitely be able to walk in and there's bilateral mutual respect from when I see another native being in there. I shouldn't have to feel like, okay, they're going to treat me a certain negative way, but then when the white person come in, you know, they're going to pucker up and it's all good.
Right,
so
right.
Definitely need to teach that. We got a lot of healing to do. And
exactly.
That's one thing that we've been working to implement within my organization is that, okay, when you come in, we're having brother and sister circles, we're healing. You know, we know that a lot of people, they've been tainted, they've been scorned, you know, they've been through some stuff. We all have, whether it's personal abuse, and I'm really learning as an organizer that a lot more people than what I thought have been personally abused as far as, you know, in a domestic situation or at home, growing up, you know, there's a lot more people than what I ever thought before. So we got to heal from that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of times it's misplaced aggression.
Right. A great code that I have is to be patient with black people for that reason, because we have been traumatized. Like, we're not talking about a week, a month, you know, a few months. We're talking about hundreds of years of traumatization, you know, being bred, being miseducated, not being allowed to read for a lot of time. You know what I'm saying? Just really being strong-armed based on brutality and savagery and being shown certain things, you know, seeing your family get raped and just all type of traumatizations that, you know, we have not been healed from. Ain't nobody gave us no counseling. You know, the little girl angry, and the little girl, black girl, angry in school. Nobody asked why she just got an attitude and this and that without even knowing, you know, what's going on. Like, in certain situations, you know, when we go through our, you know, we show our pain in different ways, you know, it's just whatever. You know, we never get help, never get rectified for, you know, all the trauma that we done been through. So we do a lot of stuff that's, you know, detrimental to ourselves, detrimental to each other, because we ain't got the healing. You know what I'm saying? And let me give a shout-out to Joy DeGruy has a book called Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
I got a signed copy of that book.
I recommend it. I recommend that to the listeners. Please check that out, because it's really a book about the how we came to this point as far as the history and how they came up with the categorizations for race. And then she goes into, like, healing at the end, like giving you certain habits and things that we didn't pick up from slavery, like beating our kids or something, you know what I'm saying, or being extra hard on our kids because we don't want, you know, the slave master or whoever to be hard on them. We don't want the system to get them. So, you know, a lot of times we may beat our kids
and
do certain things that are,
Yeah, I don't mean to cut you off. Piggybacking off that, with that, people don't realize that, and which is why that book is so important, that we carry on so many slave traditions. And we think of, you know, we think of slavery, we think of all that was in the past, you know, and Emancipation Proclamation, and we're good, but we carry on so many of those actions without even realizing it. How can you realize it? Because that was a, that was at minimum 150 something years ago, and none of us was around, so we can't say. And this is, and not even just that, but the whole. I like to say that sometimes we do Europeanize things to where you can be in an all black society, well, not necessarily, but you know, still sort of white supremacy control. But let's say you in St. Louis and you grew up in an all black neighborhood and went to all black schools, you can still be taught white supremacy. Be taught how to operate with white supremacist actions without ever seeing or making contact with a white person.
That's a fact.
It's not necessarily about the people, it's about the system.
Yeah, it's about the system. Yeah, the white people don't even have to be in a room nowadays for, you know, to be in effect. You know what I'm saying? For it to be in effect,
I had something in real quick. We, because I know we weren't getting short on time, but y'all make me think, but I would love to do a discussion on how to get or ways to get all black people on one accord, and I would definitely want to invite Zelani in on that conversation because of the work that he's been doing. I know that, like Brother Kev got the saying that our people are sick, and I'm listening to what y'all are saying about how we need healing. Now, me, I'm on the far end. I kind of, you know, I'm on the far side of where I understand what y'all are saying. At the same time, I'm at the point now where I'm ready to get people to iron fist and getting in line. You know what I'm saying? But that's going to be a whole nother topic. That's going to be a whole nother topic, but I'd love to get Zelani in on that, if you wouldn't mind, brother.
Of course, man. You know how I do that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say, too, Jelani, I want to say, Jelani, we appreciate you coming on, bro. I know we're getting short on time, so I just want to say appreciate it. And this was a good build, and, you know, we look forward to having you back.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I'm up here, you know, talking about all this white shit up at the job. It's all good.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, sir.
But hey, that's how I roll. I'm at work, but I'm rocking my Pan African flag lapel pin because I'm supposed to be
We appreciate that. Salute.
You want for the East St. Louis riot?
What you do?
Oh, yeah, yes.
You want to throw that out there now?
Yeah.
That's on you, Zelani. You want to throw that out there now? How people can get in touch with you if they want to learn about your organization, or you want to wait till a later time?
Well, you can find us on Facebook people's Pan-African movement. We've been known as the St. Louis Pan-African Movement, but we transitioned to the People's Pan-African Movement. We got a lot of information there. Anybody can feel free to send me a friend request, Zolani Shakur on Facebook. I'm probably going to look at it for like a couple weeks and be like, okay, who is this person? I don't remember giving out my Facebook page, but if that's the case, send me a message, and I do check my filtered messages. And just keep in touch. You know, we're always posting, you know, things that we may have going on or things that other organizations have going on, you know, whether we collaborate with them or not. But, you know, we try to spread that info. And, yeah, all that there.
Yeah. Right on, comrade. Yeah. That's my brother there, y'all. That's my brother.
Oh,
all right, brother, if you want to hold on, we're going to get ready to close out. So I'm going to meet you. I'm going to meet you time. We're going to get ready to shut it down. But I'll get back in touch with you, bro.
All right.
All right. All right,
peace.
Yeah.
All right.
Hello. Oh yeah, that was a good bill. That was a good bill, Brother Jelani. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Any last words on what can we do to get the only way to get Black Lives to Matter? What can we do?
What you got?
Well, what I have.
What you got?
Well, pretty much like I was saying before, you know, and I think someone else had brought it up too, you know, we have to learn how to matter to ourselves, you know. Everything always starts, you know, with the person, you know. We can't get nowhere unless we start from where we are, you know. So definitely, you know, I think that would be a great start to for us to learn how to matter to each other, matter to ourselves, and
right.
You just never know what could happen from that, you know. You just never know what type of energy can take place for just from that alone, you know, just from that happening. So I think that would be a good start, you know, and. And I think once we get past that, we can discuss the next step. But definitely we have to start with that.
Well, for me, we're getting short on time, but for Black Lives to Matter in the system of white supremacy, I don't see it happening unless we just keep on sleeping with them. And maybe we can breathe that mess out of stuff. We can breathe with them enough, and we can get them to slowly ease their death clutch, their death grip up off of us. So we can try
I'm going to just keep it short and sweet. For Black Lives to Matter under the system needs to be destroyed and rebuilt and replaced with justice and righteousness in my eye, you feel me? Replace the system. I think it's a done deal. So that's the only way Black lives don't really matter.
But since this is
collective mind.
You know, we can't change the system.
Huh?
So we got to change. We can't change the system. So I think if we use
all right,
the energy,
I agree with everything you said. Yeah, we got to change ourselves. Yeah, the battle is in the mind.
We harness that energy to give us more power and clarity for that next step.
Facts. Oh yeah, I was agreeing with that, Love Lachey, off the break. Yeah, the mind is where that we got to start with, like you say, respecting ourselves. That's the start. Respect yourself, because if you respect yourself, you're gonna respect other people. And it's going to be hard for somebody to disrespect you if you respect yourself. You know, so it starts with that mindset. So it's all in the mind, baby. And this is Collective Minds. Join us next week, y'all.
Next week.
We're going to have another discussion. Follow us, Collective Minds Radio, on Facebook. And I don't know, give it to them, Love Lachey. Facebook, Instagram.
Instagram, Twitter. Blog Talk Radio. Follow us everywhere.
CMR. Yeah.
I'm going to try to
have casual conversations, you know.
All
right, y'all. CMR. Love your mind. Peace.
And I know she tryna holler at a player like me. The skill so potent that I know she can't see. How you know? Keep talking, equality, immaculate, limited. She pulling up real hard to getting it. Hey, I've been blessed with the skill, baby. And